This is 2013, Triple J.
Before we chat to Mark Everett from Eels, let's take a little trip down memory lane.
Going over to Susan's house.
Sidewalk with a bullet in his forehead. In a final act of indignity, the paramedics take off all his clothes for the whole world to see while they put him in the bag. Meanwhile, an old couple argues inside the queen bee, the sick fluorescent light shimmering on their skin.
Going over to Susan's house.
Going back to 1996, what a wonderful debut album it was. Beautiful Freak, just one of many great songs off it. Susan's House there by Eels. Well, Mark Everett, who is the leader of Eels, he calls himself E. That's what his friends call him, and that's what he's been known to the musical world as. He's turning well and truly into an indie legend if he hasn't reached that stage already. The 10th album from Eels is called Wonderful Glorious. It's going to be out this coming Friday. He's turned into being, over the last 15 to 20 years, one of the most prolific and consistent artists around. In the last few years, he's written a book and also made a film about his family upbringing and specifically about his father, who was a famous scientist but who remained pretty distant in his life. But thankfully, besides those side projects, he has continued on with his passion of making music, and he's as strong as ever. I caught up with the man himself this week to talk about the new album. This record is your 10th studio album, which is a real achievement, I would think. Does the number mean anything to you to know that this is the 10th one that you've made?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to me because I was just so busy making them all these years, and to lift my head up off the grindstone to see that, this is the 10th album, it's miraculous to me that I've made it this far.
This record, let's talk about some of the new elements. A new studio, I believe, in Los Angeles that you made this record in?
Yes, that's right.
One that you put together yourself?
Yes, well, technically my guitarist, the Chet, put it together on my behalf.
How did it feel in there? Any different?
It's fantastic because we made most of the previous records all in a very cramped basement. And it got to the point where over the years it got piled up with so many musical instruments there wasn't room for people. And then we learned that you really need people to play musical instruments for them to make sound. So we decided we needed a bigger space. So now we have a whole house that's just our musical playground.
Wow. So does it feel a bit like Disneyland?
It really is the happiest place on earth.
So the vibe was, would you say, more positive making this record?
Well, I mean, it's usually pretty positive in its own ways, making the records. But this was a particularly fun one because it was very collaborative between myself and the band. We all pitched in on the writing of the album, which hasn't happened before.
And you were totally open to that?
I was totally open. I decided ahead of time that the plan this time would be to have no plan and to just try anything anyone wanted to try.
And you had absolute trust in the people, or were you experimenting with new people in the formula as well?
Well, it's the band that has been on tour with me for the last couple of tours, and we have a pretty good musical and personal rapport at this point. But that said, it was still a total experiment for making an album, and it could have really have gone horribly, you know, which was part of the excitement. We didn't have any idea how it was going to go.
And did you get worried at any point that it wasn't going to work?
Well, the first day, it was a little bit of a slow start, and then about halfway through the first day, it clicked, and then it just never stopped clicking for a month. Once the train left the station, we couldn't stop it.
Right.
Somebody, the brakes weren't working.
Okay, well, that's fantastic. So tell me, when all these ideas are coming, are the words coming at the same time, or are these words that you've stored up and just found fitted this new music?
Well, some of both. A lot of it happens spontaneously, and then other stuff comes from, you know, an old notebook where you see a line or a phrase that you like or something, and you incorporate it.
Because it's funny, I've been listening to this record, and it actually feels really cohesive in terms of the character who's singing these lyrics, painting the perspective of their world. Do you see a link between each of the songs in terms of the persona?
Yeah, I do, which is amazing to me because, you know, going into it, not having a plan for what I specifically wanted it to sound like or be about, it was a good lesson for me to just go in there and see what happens organically and see that it could all come out cohesive.
So tell me what your thoughts are and then I'll compare notes. I'll tell you what I think. But who's writing these songs? What's the character? What's the outlook on life?
Well, it depends. You know, some songs are very closely based on my own life, and then other times it's like a character that I've made up in my mind. It's just, you know, different from song to song. I do often also find that some of the songs that I think I'm writing in character and that don't really have much to do with me personally, years down the line, I'll find myself in some situation that's exactly what that song was. So it's like sometimes I write these prophetic songs that I guess I need to be careful about what I write about.
Okay. When you're writing from a character perspective, do you visualize a lot of stuff?
Yeah, I think you kind of have to. I think any writer has to unlock their imagination and watch the movies inside your head. Sort of like you become an actor and you're just incorporating it into your own self.
I hear a lot of danger in these lyrics too. There's sort of like hidden, there's a sort of like a hidden danger, an element of, I don't know, suppressed violence in some of the songs. Is this anything unusual for you as a songwriter, do you think?
I've been on a little bit of a quest the last few years to try to bring some balls back to indie rock. I felt like it got to a point where everything just got too earnest for its own good, and people forgot that the term rock and roll came from, sex, basically. And I just thought, you know, let's bring some sex and violence back into the mix.
In my heart there lives a little riddle. I'm always trying to find my way. Everything feels older in the morning. I'll find an answer someday. But I'm feeling kind of fuzzy. But you know I'm alright. I'm feeling kind of fuzzy. But the sun's shining bright. Don't mess with me. I'm up for the fight.
On Triple J, one of those dangerous songs, which when I asked him about it, he said, it's just simply about a guy who's got a hangover. So maybe I was reading a little bit too much into it, a bit too serious take on it, I think. But that track is great. It's called Kinda Fuzzy from the brand new Eels album, which is out at the end of the week. Wonderful Glorious is the name of it, the 10th album for Eels. Mark Everett, who is the leader of Eels, having a chat to me before that. He also mentioned that they're doing a stack of dates overseas between now and April. He's hoping to come to Australia once again sometime later in the year, but nothing's been locked in as yet.
The best new music from around the world. This is 2013
on Triple J.